Dr. Height, welcome. It seems like you are appearing on pretty much every medium in town to talk about the early start of school. We've been talking about this for 2 years, the early start of school, but yet there are some parents who are just now finding out about it. What's been the reaction to school starting on August 27th?
Well, most people are surprised that we're starting before Labor Day, and as you indicated, we've been talking about this for 2 years now, and did a lot of work a year and a half ago to actually socialize the fact that this calendar would change. But we've been doing a lot of work this summer to ensure people know and realize that we're starting actually in August, and while it's a week early, you have to get people acclimated to the earlier start. So the fact that people are surprised means that they're getting the information. That's number one, which is really important because we want the children there on the first day. But more importantly, the reaction to me just in general, and I'm not soliciting more reaction, but the reaction has been pretty supportive in terms of, particularly with parents, in terms of their children coming back early. And what we have, I have had one teacher and one parent who sent emails asking, why do we do this? And I explained that we are trying to do several things. One, front load as much instructional time as possible before children sit for national assessments or the SAT advanced placement or state assessments. And we want to front load the instructional time so that we don't have 3 weeks of school after Memorial Day when attendance tends to drop off, both for students and unfortunately for many of our staff members. The other thing we're trying to do is begin with an uninterrupted week of school so that students are in school for a whole week. So that you can start to build and establish climates and cultures in schools and a rapport with young people before we start having interrupted weeks and weeks that have holidays in them. And sometimes we go 3, maybe 4 weeks before we have a full week of school. And that doesn't allow individuals to get into the flow of the new school year. And we wanted to really do that. And then I said two things, and everyone wanted to get out earlier. And we will be finishing this school year. This school year will be complete on June 4th for students and June 5th for staff members, provided we have no snow days. And so we were able to accomplish all of that after about 2 years of work. Then even before the policy was voted on, it was a 10-day public comment period. And we had quite a few public comments around. Many of the parents wanted us to eliminate the number of half days, which we did. And many of the teachers wanted us to expand or lengthen the spring break, which we also did, to at least a day longer than it has been. And so that's a lot of the feedback we've been receiving around this. But the big thing and the important thing is that we're inviting people to ring the bell, PHL, on Monday, August 27th. And it really is to provide an opportunity for all Philadelphians to be a part of our bell ringing ceremony. And they don't have to have a real bell. They could use a bell sound on their phone, on their bike, the doorbell, whatever. But at 8 a.m., we're inviting everyone to ring the bell.
I can imagine what the Frank Riddell is going to sound like at 8 o'clock on Monday morning. Many of the suburban districts are back. Charters are already back. It surprises me that you've only heard from one teacher and one parent about what amounts to a culture change in Philadelphia going back to school a week before Labor Day.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of why we only heard from so few people is because we've been doing this for 2 years. I mean, we've been working up to this point for 2 years. I think that's one of the things. And I know the teachers are all excited to be getting out earlier, right? So they're excited about the June 4th. I have heard that and heard that from staff members. But I'm also surprised that we haven't heard from more individuals who think that going back a week earlier is just too early for students. And it's not customary for us to do that. And it's the first time that this has happened in Philadelphia. I think people generally agree with the rationale. They understand. They all acknowledge that the children are going into springitis and summeritis and at the end of May, and it's hard to get them motivated to remain focused on school-based stuff when the weather is turning. But it is also really important that we take advantage of as much instructional time as we can as we work to continue to get children reading on grade level and children graduating from high school with the ability to pursue their interests.
How will you know whether this is working? Because many of the academic measures and the assessment results won't be in by the time the new school board needs to put together an academic calendar for next school year. So how will you know whether it's working?
Yeah, we have other metrics, and so we can compare attendance for down to the day for the past several years, and we can look at attendance trends. We could look at who shows up on time. We could look at enrollment trends, and we will have that information, and we can compare that to the day. And so even before assessments are released and all of those things come out from all of the state and federal and national assessment groups, we have information in-house about who attends, who's attending on time, who's enrolling, when are they enrolling, and how do we look with respect to our populations. And so we'll have data that gives us information in time to inform next year's calendar.
Right now, your gut feeling, do you think this is going to be the new norm starting before Labor Day?
I don't know. We're going to take a look, see, and it's important to look at this year. I think anytime you do a change like this, you should analyze what the impact of the change. I do think that it gives us an opportunity to end sooner, which I do think is of value. But it could be, but I want to wait and see, and want to wait and see after we get results. And one thing we do know is that not having the interrupted weeks, that in and of itself would likely improve attendance, because generally if the holidays fell on a Tuesday, no one would come on Monday. The holiday fell on a Thursday, no one comes on Friday. And so you have a one-day holiday that then impacts 2 days and with respect to attendance. And having at least the first week, that's a full week for students, hopefully it allows us to set and establish a climate for the school year before we get into like a couple of weeks of holidays.
I want to switch gears. As last school year ended, much of the talk was about the condition of school buildings, much of that the result of the Toxic School series by The Inquirer and Philly.com and the Daily News. Over the summer, you have been doing asbestos and mold and lead remediation. Give us an update. Tell us whether the affected schools will be ready and safe when school opens.
Yeah, so it's as you indicated, we've done a lot of work over the summer to actually get those buildings ready to go and have done quite a few things. I mean, and so the answer to your question is yes. We can say with a great deal of certainty that those issues have been resolved and we all those buildings are safe for students to return. The work, however, will continue. I mean, and as many people may recall, the governor also came through with an additional $7.6 million that can only be spent on the painting and doing much of the paint stabilization work. When we go in and do that work, it's just not a section of the building that we do. We actually then repaint the whole building and remediate the lead paint in the whole building. And we have multiple buildings that we will have to work through throughout the year. And so that means we have to have a communication process in place and to inform those families, inform the staff members. We have to relocate classrooms in some of those buildings as well. But it's to let everyone know that that work will be occurring throughout the year as we use those monies to address a much broader problem. However, with respect to the asbestos, the mold, and the most critical areas where we had peeling paint, all of those areas have been addressed over the summer and are ready to go. And I'm happy to also say we've formed a coalition of individuals, and they represent our environmental staff. They represent individuals from the PFT Health and Welfare Fund. They represent individuals representing the principals union. Families are on it. Staff members are on it. And they also help us with establishing the process, the protocols, the testing. And we're able to utilize a much broader group to actually inform that work. And so this is really about solving the problem versus just identifying where these problems are, but getting in quickly with multiple groups to talk about the best way to communicate the work that's happening, the best way to do the work, and the best way to test to ensure that those areas are safe.
For a parent who has a student in a particular school, we'll pick Nebinger, where there were high asbestos levels, how do you assure the parents that even though work is going on during the school year, that their children are safe while they attend there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a communication protocol, and I want to amend, I think,
sure.
You said Nebinger and you said asbestos. They were a paint stabilization school, so there was a lot of peeling paint at that school. That school was actually a completed project. And what we learned when we did the work at that school is the type of information that you had to provide for parents to ensure that even if you're relocating classrooms, the children don't come in contact with the work that's happening in the school. And so they just went through that process this past spring. That school looks beautiful now and has been redone. And more importantly, the input that we receive from that community in terms of how to communicate that work, how to handle and manage the classrooms that must be moved in order for that work to occur, actually has informed the process as we do all of these other schools. So children will not be sitting in rooms that are being painted. They will be relocated to other places in the school. And when those rooms are complete and tested then cleared, then the children would be moved back into those areas. And then once they move back, they will be in bright, more colorful, freshly painted classrooms.
I want to touch on another topic. The school district begins its academic year under new management, a new local school board. They've only had one meeting. It's difficult early on to take their temperature for what kind of a board they're going to be. But anecdotally, can you tell us about your relationship with the new school board? Your contract is through 2020, so you are here as far as that. But what do you think will be different working for a local school board as opposed to the state-run school reform commission?
Yeah, I think anytime that there's a local entity that has that makes the policy decisions and budgetary decisions, that's better than some sort of state-appointed commission to do that. And I came here with the SRC, and there were members of the SRC who were committed public servants here from Philadelphia, were tremendous individuals. But just the makeup of the group being state-appointed, by and large, created a lot of the anxiety and emotions that people had. One thing with the new locally appointed board, first and foremost, these are individuals who are smart and talented and have made a commitment to provide their service to the city in the form of being a school board member. Empathize with the fact that they have to consume a lot of information, and they're going to have to get up to speed pretty quickly on that. And in many respects, it's while they are holding down other jobs and doing other work, and many people still don't understand it's a voluntary position. However, I think, number one, we've established a great working relationship with the new board. I do think that if people have been experiencing the SRC meetings over the past 17 years, I think one of the things that will be different is this board's willingness to engage and engage with the public, be responsive to the public, express and explain rationale to the public. And I think they can do that because, number one, it's more of them, and they can do it through a committee-based structure. But the committees then allow for conversations and allows for dialogue that could not occur at a commission meeting when you're receiving public testimony. And 15 minutes after hearing that testimony, you're voting on a resolution. And I do think that this provides opportunities for individuals to speak to an item specifically in that committee meeting, and you don't have to wait to hear speakers who are speaking on items that may be in other committees, but also to engage with the board in a very different way. And I do think that many people will take advantage of the opportunity to engage and have voice, but I do think that this board is really interested in engaging the public to be informed about and to get information as they consider policies and as they consider budgets and as they consider their governance work as board members here in Philadelphia.
And if someone wants to attend one of those meetings, they can go to the first Finance Committee meeting, I think, on September 6th, so they can take part then.
First Finance Committee meeting, Finance and Facilities. That first committee meeting is September 6th. That's correct.
Final question for you. Every year, the district has a bell-ringing ceremony to ceremonially start the year. Where is that going to happen this year?
That's going to happen at Munoz Marin, and that we're excited about that. And as we prepare for that bell-ringing ceremony, it just reminds me to remind everyone else to ring a bell at 8 a.m. And we want this to be something that all of Philadelphia participates in, and not just the individuals at one school with one ceremony, but we want everyone to ceremoniously ring a bell or make a bell sound, or if they're at work, at home, en route, wherever they are, ring a bell at 8 a.m. and so we can all celebrate the start of school here in the city of Philadelphia.
We'll get the word out for you. Indeed. Dr. Haidt, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.